Welcome to the V-Wave Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by River Runners for Wilderness and is created by a cast of river lovers who understand the river resource comes first. On the shoulders of a healthy river, do we recreate ourselves? What comes second is river access, a very thorny V-Wave, all in itself. The V-Wave discusses these things and river ecology, recent river trips, river history, river management, and new changes on rivers. Have a topic you'd like to hear more about or help discuss? Get in touch with me, your host, Tom Martin, at rrfw.org. That's T-O-M-M-A-R-T-I-N at rrfw.org. Special thanks to Char and Trev, who came up with this idea. Welcome to today's V-Wave podcast. Today I'm speaking with Janet Ortley as she talks about a recent Grand Canyon River trip and about her father. Janet, good morning. Welcome to the V-Wave podcast. How are you today?
Doing great.
Super.
Nice to get to talk about the Grand Canyon again already.
You know, you just sent me a very beautiful montage of photographs. Can you walk me through that montage?
Definitely. I've been lucky. I have family members, particularly my mother, who just adores collecting photos. And so getting photos together that cover the story that starts 50-plus years ago in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice, and I was happy I was able to do it. But I think the photo that has grabbed everybody's attention and is definitely a family favorite is the one that I posted in the Facebook group, and it's a photo of my dad's hands on the oars from our most recent Grand Canyon River trip that we did in 2025.
When did you get off the water on that trip?
We got off the water on April 26th.
And what's your dad's name?
Erwin Ortley.
Okay, so tell me about your dad here. I'm looking at these photos.
So that first shot is of my dad's hands. And my dad is 84 years old this year. And he's been a river runner and a rafter most of his life. He's done other things too. And those hands, you know, look at them and you want to hear some stories behind it and see some things about what they've seen and done. And so I went looking for a little more pictures of those hands and rafting and the Grand Canyon. Because this is my dad's sixth trip down the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, was in April 2025. But he started river running. If you go to the next photo in the group, he started on the Bow River rafting in 1972 in Banff, Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
And he was the first commercial river runner there.
Okay.
And he chose it first. You can see it's a sweep raft. That one's probably one of the 24-foot rafts. He did run some 36-foot rafts. And his very first trip down official, that photo was taken, and it was run in the Calgary Herald. And they printed that photo, like it says, in the front page. And then there was a full spread on another page with photos of the trip and what it was like. You can see life jackets are definitely a lot different back then.
Yeah, yeah, they're all wearing the big May West puff out in the front.
I was going to say he called them the May West. I have very early memories of those life jackets and the, you know, the canvas ties on them. Things have definitely changed over the years. and improved. But I can tell you, you can still, as a little kid, fall asleep inside them when you're tired enough. And the next photo is Dad in about the same year in on the Kootenai River.
Okay.
In Kootenai National Park, because he was able to obtain permission to run commercially on the Bow, the Kootenai, and the Athabasca, which are in three different national parks there in Canada, in Banff, Kootenai, and Jasper National Park. And that was the family business for, I think he finally sold all of it off about 15 years ago. None of us, unfortunately, in the family wanted to stay with it.
Okay.
But that means he's been doing rafting since the early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And the next picture after that, I had to include it to show, this is actually, it's a large raft, and one of the small, a small 17-foot raft. And before the commercial season, he would get all of his raft guides and friends together, and they would explore different rivers up there in Canada. And that's actually a photo from the Fraser River.
Okay.
Which has some very, very large whitewater on it. But they're wearing definitely what was what they could get for the best cold water. And the red suits are wetsuits. Those were definitely around in the early 70s.
Okay.
But Dad had found submarine deck suits. Those are those green suits that everybody in the other raft are wearing, were some of the best cold water slash splash protection that they could wear while on the raft.
And I'm assuming and that, so, that water in the Fraser is pretty cold.
Very. It's glacier-fed. Grand Canyon water sometimes feels warm compared to that.
Okay.
But it's what we played in all the time.
And then the boat looks like, a 24-foot bridge pontoon. Who manufactured that boat?
So the one that's in this picture is actually made by Rubber Manufacturing.
Okay.
Rubber Fabricators. It is not the one that he ended up. He has two rafts from this era that he still uses, which were made by Leyland in England.
Okay.
And they still survive to this day. They're basically 50 years old.
Okay.
And we've got some photos of it down the road, those Leyland rafts. But this was one of his commercial rafts that he used on for commercial river running.
Okay. And did he still have the floor in them? Did these have to be bailed
yes.
out?
These yep. ones okay. were all bucket boats.
Okay.
Self-bailing floors didn't exist yet. Some of the rafts, though, they would have no floor, and they would put a wooden floor in. So they were just the pontoons. And or a wooden step around the outside. Inside of it so you could put rest your feet on it.
Okay.
But most of the time they did keep the floors in to help keep the water out. And yeah, bucket bailing. And from a very early age I learned that we called it the Kootenai two-step.
Okay.
Because the Kootenai River had a little more rapids and to learn how to bail your raft.
You could be bailing that boat for a while. I mean,
you
it looks
could.
Like it could hold a lot of water.
But you also, usually at least two people for bailing if you can.
Okay.
Because it does take a bit, because they do take on water when they hit the big stuff.
Yeah.
So the next photo after that is actually from 1979.
Okay.
And that is my dad in the yellow hat there. Rowing the Leyland in the Grand Canyon. That was the first time. In 1976, he moved our family down here to the United States for the winters into Utah. And they found it much more enjoyable to do their fun spring trips down here in the South.
Okay.
Than up in the North. So he would try to get Grand Canyon or Cataract Canyon type permits or Desolation, Grand Desolation Canyon on the Green River every spring.
Okay.
And so 1979 is the first time he got a Grand Canyon permit. And that is him, and I think that's Hermit, actually.
Okay.
It's Rapid. And as you can see, they are having a great time. And that's that 24-foot long, that's a big wave.
Right.
Finding photos from that era is hard, though, because, you know, things like waterproof cameras didn't really exist.
Right.
things like that. So we have, like, maybe four or five photos from this trip is all. And that's one of them. So then, again, like I said, routinely tried to get different ones. And in 1984, he was actually able to get another Grand Canyon permit.
Okay.
And that photo of the yellow rafts there, I think they may be Moravias. I am not positive.
They look like they're your standard yellow raft, 18-foot long.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
And I can't tell, but there's a good chance that the Leyland came along as well.
Okay.
But we don't have clear photos to be able to perfectly tell that.
Okay.
But in 1984, the other thing that got to happen is, and if you go to the next photo, is Dad, this is actually at Deer Creek right at the top, but that's myself and my brother Gary, and I was 14.
Right, so this is a picture of you and you're in between your dad and your brother. You're all sitting there,
yep,
on the ground. The view is looking upstream back toward to Pete's Creek Rapid. The Deer,
yes,
Creek waterfall is right below you. It's a classic,
yep,
the classic place to take pictures at the top of the falls. And it's a great,
yeah,
family photo.
Yeah, and it was neat. We didn't get to come on the whole trip, but we hiked, my brother and I hiked in with another family that came along that had two kids at Phantom Ranch.
Okay.
And so we hiked in at Phantom Ranch, and we actually hiked out at Havasupai.
Okay.
So we were there for 1 week, basically, pretty close to a week. And got to do a lot of hikes and things like that. And run the meaty part of the river, too. However, I do remember, and the next photo is actually Dad on that same trip running Crystal. Not positive on that. But if you notice, there's no... Rapid's big enough. You can't see. But no little kids in that. We,
uh-huh,
walked around Crystal.
Okay.
They made certain they could get a raft in at the bottom, and we did not raft through Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1984. Crystal was a different rapid then than it is now,
right,
and it was big. And even with the 24-foot rafts, they took some big hits. And so all of us kids got to walk around on that trip of Crystal. I don't remember walking around any other rapids, though, on that section. We did run them all.
Okay.
The rest of them. And the hike out at Havasupai was just amazing.
And why were the kids hiking out?
We couldn't stay. They didn't want us out of school that long.
Oh, got it.
And I suspect the parents that were escorting us in and out, it wasn't Dad, they may not have been able to, you know, leave for as long, the full, we usually do 21-day trips when we do these trips.
Okay.
So being gone for three weeks is,
right,
sometimes quite a commitment.
You bet.
84. Then it took quite a while, you know, that permit system and lots of people that was running there. You just basically had to wait till your number came up, and the numbers started getting pretty big. And, but we did, Dad managed to pull a permit again in 1996.
Okay.
And so in 1996, that's the next set of rafts there. I was trying to find one up at Lee's Ferry, but I couldn't find a photo from Lee's Ferry. Again, as technology has improved, more photos have become available. and things like that.
Yeah.
We didn't take the Leland on that trip.
Yeah, those look like cataracts there.
Yeah, we had some of his raft friends brought their own rafts down, and they chose cataracts for their rafts. Like I said, we had a selection. I think this is also, there is a Sotart, the one round boat there is definitely a Sotart, and I think the blue one, farthest blue one's also a Sotart. I don't know what the middle blue one is.
Okay.
By that time, of course, that's a few years later. And the next photo is actually of Hermit. And Dad is in the front of the raft. He's actually letting somebody else row. He's letting my brother Gary.
Okay.
He's in that photo way back there, 1984.
Yeah.
He's big enough now to row his own raft.
Cool.
And he actually did row for my dad commercially in Canada.
Okay.
This actually is semi a family photo. I am in that photo, but I am in the bottom of the cockpit of that raft because I got smacked into there by like the first wave we hit. I couldn't move out from underneath there because we didn't want to mess with Gary rowing. And the other person in there is one of our family friends, Eddie. But there's also a fist in this photo, if you can see it over on the right-hand side. And that is my brother David. And David voluntarily swam the rapid. He hopped out at the top. He had a two life jackets on and a wetsuit.
Okay. And sure enough, so you know, imagine this picture. There's rocks in the background. There's a boat. There's big waves and you know, lots of angry white water. And in the middle of that, there's a fist sticking up out of the water.
Yeah. And David said he was doing that to, like, he was swimming. He was actively participating in his, but he wanted us to know he was okay and loving it. So we like that photo a lot.
Very fun.
If the next photo after that, a little calmer, we did the hike where you go up to Pete's Creek, go across, and come down Deer Creek, and I think most of the group did that, and they had just a skeleton crew row the rafts around and meet us at Deer Creek.
Sure.
So that's my dad and myself in the middle of that hike.
Okay.
Up on that top plateau.
Nice.
And you also need to, and I think this is actually almost a, it might be a crop, the photo after that. Dad's finally learning to relax now and then. So he's got his, he brought a full-size pillow along and his sleeping pad, and he's enjoying a magazine on the beach after a good hike day. That was also, like I said, finally occasionally getting to relax.
Cool.
And then, of course, the final photo is takeout at Pierce's Ferry. We've always gone all the way to Pierce's Ferry.
Cool.
And the mayhem of packing everything back up.
Right, right.
To go home. That was 1996. And you probably can tell more to people about the history of the permitting system and how it was getting people, and when it changed from basically waiting in line to the weighted lottery that
right.
they have now.
2006, yeah.
Yeah. And in 2010, we managed to pull a permit again.
Okay.
So that was, what, 11 years later, I think? And
yeah, since 1996, that would have been 14.
14 years later. So we took quite a hiatus from running the Grand. Now, mind you, still running commercially in Canada and running for fun on, like I said, the other rivers in Utah and around the area in the spring. But always trying to win one of those elusive permits. So we did in 2010, and the photo is a classic one of all the, when you're a private group, it's not quite as organized and you definitely have a different bunch of stuff. And so that was the next photo, like I said, Lee's Ferry in 2010.
Right.
And the photo after that is Dad rowing one of the rafts. He definitely rowed that trip. And one of the life jackets have definitely changed from those May West. His good friend Eddie Clements is his co-pilot and navigator to help us keep track of stuff. And the gear is definitely improved and changed.
But that looks like a pretty big boat there as well. Well, your dad is standing up rowing that. What's he rowing?
I am not certain on that one because it doesn't look like one of our... It could be the one Sotar that we owned for a while that was about a 16-footer but had oversized tubes.
Mm.
But I don't remember having the rub pads on it. So it could be one of the commercial ones that he brought down from Canada for the off-season.
It looks bigger than a 16. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and we rode as a family, we rode pins and clips until maybe the last 7 years.
Okay.
And pins and clips, they really allow, they're what you need to row standing and what you need to row a big raft. Because you got to be able to get your whole body behind that when you're rowing something really large. And you don't, a lot of people don't have the wrist strength to do that if you're using something like horns. And I included another photo of Dad on that same trip, kind of showing off his cold water gear or cold weather gear, splash gear. It's definitely not the submarine deck suits anymore.
Yeah, but it looks like he's wearing a splash top with a hood and sort of rain pants type thing.
Yeah, he hadn't quite bit the bullet. What's this dry suit? I don't need a dry suit.
Well, good for him. He and the rest of us were doing that. Yeah, yeah. With good splash pants and boots and a long cut rain jacket, you know, that was the day.
I used that. That's what I've been running in for a long time myself. Can't afford the dry suit yet. But I included a photo also of the Little Colorado, which that time was running brown. It's always pretty to see the Little Colorado. We always tried to stop there. Dad looking a little older, too, sitting in his comfy chair on the next photo, relaxing a little bit. But just in case, the photo after that is Spectre Rapid, and him in the middle of that, and definitely running well in that larger raft.
Cool.
So, still in good shape. The other photo I included was Havasupai. It was odd to me. When we had run in like 84 and 96, I don't think we hardly saw another person on the whole river. And it was magical and great. And then we pull up to Havasupai this time, and it's like rafts, all up the canyon and everything, and we're like, it was different. There's definitely more people down here in 2010 than there were previously.
Right. This is the classic photo of the Havasu Harbor, full of boats and people, and it's called Havasu. And there it is. It's quite congested there.
And of course, we made it to. We took out at Pierce's Ferry again. The vehicles look different, but all the gear you got to haul out looks the same. And I can't remember if Pierce Rapid, when did that start?
That's right. This picture is showing the Pierce Ferry ramp as we use it today. The river is going downstream. The rapid, Pierce Ferry Rapid, is downstream below this photo. And so this is the first picture you've got in this series we're talking about, where you're taking out at the Pierce Ferry ramp, not the old one when the reservoir is high, but the new one when the reservoir is low.
So So that was 2010. And, you know, since we've become adults as kids and from kids to adults, we also started, you know, putting in our names and applying for our own permits and things like that. And took over kind of from helping Dad fill out his permits because everything had gone to being online more.
Right.
So in 20, like I said, but we came, because more of us were active, I think, we managed to pull another permit in 2015.
Okay.
2015, I actually pulled that permit myself, and I think it was a pickup permit, actually, and we had maybe 4 months to prepare.
Okay.
But just showing the, we also do all our own food, and we've always done all our own food. Dad, yeah. We've discussed with Dad about, hey, you know, there's these painless privates. They do all the food. And Dad's like, what? Nah, we can't spend money like that.
Yeah, so, and you've got all the gear.
Yep,
it's not like you're short of gear here.
Yep. And yeah, if you look really close, you can see some of that gear. I suspect if we looked really close, some of that gear may have been on that 1979 trip going to the dry boxes.
Sure, why not? They still work.
They do, and I can't remember when Dad, I know the current water system that we use, the Expedition-grade water filter that we use for this trip, it's been rebuilt and multiple times, mm-hmm, but it, I can't remember when he obtained it, but, you know, my earliest memories when we did those long trips, that's come along.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The next photo after the all the food is Lee's Ferry again, and we did take, if I'm remembering correctly, one of the 25-foot old rafts came along on this trip, and
one of the Lelands.
My brother Gary and his fiance Allison, one of the things they asked to do when we pulled the permit was they wanted to get married on the Grand Canyon.
Nice.
So we put it together, and they got their license. We had to kind of figure out which state we'd probably be in, and kind of plan which we wanted to lay over at Cardenas.
Okay.
To do it, because we'd been down before. We knew that'd be a good place, and we had some people that could only come for a shorter time, so that first kind of 7 days would be a great time to do it. They asked one of our good family friends, he got his Church of Life pastor so that he could officially marry them.
Nice.
And that photo is Gary and Allison and Bruce, where they stood and did the wedding ceremony.
Nice.
And then we actually hauled along and cooked. The next photo after that is, of course, we had wedding cake. It was good chocolate cake, too. And we brought champagne down and plastic wine glasses, whipped cream and works, and had a great celebration that night, that day.
Super.
Even the traditional photo of the groom feeding the bride. And the next photo after that, Dad is finally upgraded.
Oh, he's got a dry suit.
He's got a dry suit. And we even got him to wear a helmet.
Okay.
And the way we did that was we put a GoPro on it.
Ah.
And he liked that idea. And so the next picture after that is actually from Dad's GoPro, a still.
Oh, nice.
And I think that, yeah, it's one of the funner rapids that were on there. Something a little bit beefy, and that's his. Bruce was his bowman most of the time. I'm in the raft, rowing the raft in front of that, and my brother Gary's rowing the blue one in front of that, and my brother Dave ended up on the trip too, but we had a good time. However, having that camera on the front, Lava Falls was, Dad was rowing a 14-foot Sotar on this trip. So was I. We had... Two 14-footers. And the next one after that, you can see Bruce, and this is Lava Falls, and it's about to take a really good hit there in Lava Falls. In fact, that might even be the V wave.
Okay. It looks like it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a wall of water there. There's a 4 foot high wall of water coming at this little.
And it's coming in kind of from both sides.
That's right.
I think that is the V wave, because what happened on that V wave is kind of shown in the next photo. It's a very turbulent photo. There's great fluffy water all around, but if you look at it close, you realize, wait a second, that angle on that raft, Dad was barrel rolled by that V wave. He got rolled side to side, not end to end. And he got barrel rolled. We have great video of the whole thing. I think we have actually five videos because we had five different GoPros on the trip. And after that, though, the raft was upside down. My brother Brian was in a C1 running safety, and he paddled over before they, I think he got to him even before they got to the buzzsaw, and popped his kayak out up on top of the raft and himself, pulled my dad up and Bruce on top of the raft.
Okay.
And they then ran Son of Lava.
Okay.
And that's what that photo is there of them sitting up on top of the raft. And then we were able to successfully get them over into the nice back eddy that's down below that, get the raft flipped back over again, get all the gear out, check it all out, see what had happened. And I know, I mean, it felt like to me, because I was in the raft behind Dad, and I was rowing the other 14-footer. Dad was very worried about the 14-footers in Lava Falls. And my line was maybe 6 inches, 12 inches different than Dad's was all.
Uh-huh.
And I watched him flip in front of me. But I'm on the tongue already. There's not a whole lot I can do.
Right.
And my raft is like, hey, and I'm like, it doesn't matter. I said, that's not our problem. There's people down below. We have, you know, 3 other rafts down below. There's safety. Our job is to get through this raft, rapid upright. And I did not flip.
Cool. Good for you.
And so we, I think we lost, Dad had forgotten to close the lid on one of his ammo cans that had a bunch of his tools. So we lost some tools, and I think one of your river maps floated away.
Oh, dear.
We had a number on the trip, but that was all we lost in Lava.
Okay.
And then the final photo from that trip is takeout again at Pierce Ferry Ramp. There's that old Leland.
Up on its side, drying out, it looks like.
Oh, yeah. You got to wash them off.
Yeah.
You got tons of dirt, and then it's a bucket boat, so drying them off. We roll them up and haul them home. That way we don't keep them inflated.
Right. Okay.
And that's Dad. And his good friend and one of his former raft guides, Tim Hartland.
Okay.
Who rode for my dad in the 70s, late 70s, and continues to row to this day, actually. He's a little bit younger than Dad. I think he's only about 71 now.
Okay. Cool.
In this picture, you know, he's a little younger. So that was 2015 when this happened. This is all the 2015 trip.
Got it.
And, yeah, okay. Start putting in for permits again. Not getting anything. And then about 2 years ago, my sister-in-law, who got married, Allison, got married on this trip. She's like, Janet, our 10-year anniversary is coming up. I really want to celebrate our anniversary on the river. And I'm like, did you know it's a 1% chance to win a permit? And I think some people have posted up about what the percentages are for winning permits, and it is
right.
usually about 1%. And she's like, I know. She's like, I'll pay and I'll put in, and that might increase the odds and stuff. And I'm like, okay. I hadn't been able to put in for a year or two due to work and things. I'm like, I'll do it again. So I put in for the 2025.
Okay.
And I picked April 4th.
Okay.
Which is the day we launched in as my top pick. That was when we launched in 2015.
Okay.
And lo and behold, I get that beautiful email. And it says, you've won a permit.
Cool.
April 4th, 2025. 10 years to the day. We're going down the Grand Canyon again. So, you know, got to get the food together.
Mm-hmm.
That's my parents' home. And doing all the food again. I think we started driving down. Most of us live in Utah.
Okay.
Now, we started driving down in a snowstorm. We had to drive clear down for this 2025 down. We had to drive all the way to St. George and then cut across. The roads just weren't worth it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But we did make it to Lee's Ferry there, and a gorgeous photo of the clouds and the rain, and it was cold.
Yeah,
we got snow there that day, but...
Very beautiful.
It was pretty. And then, of course, everybody's got to sit for they do the ranger talk now the day before, which is really nice. And they have a nice little sunshade. That's a bunch of us sitting there. The next photo is us listening very carefully. We had an excellent ranger, and I'm trying to remember her name. And, she was great, though.
Cool.
And I don't want to take the guess at the name in case I get it wrong.
Okay.
But she was fantastic, got our lecture, and then we loaded up and headed up. So Dad had decided, by this time, he's 84 years old this time, he wanted to row the Leland, that 25-foot raft.
Nice.
Now, we humored him and said he could start that way, but we did make certain we had another rower along that could take over.
Okay.
And so that first photo there, their next photo is Dad at the oars on the Leland.
And there's a Canadian flag flying behind him. There's looks like a 7.5-gallon propane bomb tied to the side of the frame there.
Yeah, I think it's actually a 10 or 15 gallon.
Oh, okay.
It's bigger than that. It is a hot air balloon propane tank.
Oh, wow. Do you take that off the boat, or does it just stay there and you cook out there?
We do take it off the boat.
Okay.
We actually only used it to top off. We had two small of the 5-gallon ones.
Got it. Okay.
And we would take it off and to top it off. Top those ones off.
Okay.
We had the propane tubing along that we could do that.
Right.
So it did come off the boat. But usually didn't go too far.
Okay.
But after Dad did row Badger Creek, which I think is the first rapid.
Okay.
And in the Leland, and after doing that, and he was fine. He's like, I don't have the strength anymore.
Mm.
He's like, once the raft gets full of water, and while you can bail it out pretty quick, and he did have two bailers, not quick enough, you know, and you can't bail in the middle of the rapid either.
Right.
And he's like, I need to switch up. So we stopped at Soap Creek for the camp, and basically de-rigged the whole boat and re-rigged it for a new rower. Dean took over, and Dad moved to a 16-foot Sotar. And proceeded to do the rest of the trip in the 16-foot Sotar.
Okay.
But we did have some spiciness on the trip. The next photo after that is I had my first flip. I flipped in House Rock.
Oh, good for you. I mean, everybody needs a first flip somewhere.
And my raft, we call it Puppy, the 14-foot Sotar. Puppy's been down. That's what I rode down the Grand before. And Puppy literally swam me into the back eddy and my bowman, Alex. And we got it. As you can see, we're running lines, and we flipped it back over. And mm-hmm. We didn't lose any gear. We didn't get any water into the dry boxes. Everything was great.
Oh, good for you. Yeah,
and
nice.
And away we went down the river. Surprisingly, and I almost don't want to even say it out loud because we consider it, I don't want to call it up, the wind.
Yeah.
We actually, in 2015, the wind was upstream every day for the first 6 days.
Okay.
We had to kill ourselves to make it to Cardenas in time to have a layover day and then be able to get to Phantom Ranch in time to do an exchange. So we were prepared for that in 2025. We were prepared that every day we were going to be rowing against that wind. And we didn't get that.
Oh,
we
wow.
even had a downstream wind.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was amazing. Like, I had been working out for a year to get in shape so that I could row against that wind, because I remembered it. And we made it to Cardenas great.
Cool.
And the photo after that is, there's a little kind of flat spot just up from the river there at Cardenas. We did a layover day there. We got to celebrate the 10-year anniversary and did a little remembrance of those that might not be able to be with us on the trip.
Nice.
For one reason or another. And that's actually Bruce standing there again. It was beautiful. And it had been cold that first week this time.
Mm.
But when we laid over at Cardenas, it got over 100 degrees during the day.
It warmed up.
Yeah. So we continued downstream after that. The Little Colorado was gorgeous. It's that milky turquoise color that it just draws the eye. It was so fantastic. So I had to include a photo of that. And it with the Colorado green next to it.
Lovely.
The one rapid that a lot of us, our new rower Dean was most worried about, though, was Bedrock. Because when we ran this time, it was low. Water was low, definitely lower than what we were running in 2015.
Okay.
And that's a big raft. And Bedrock's tight. And so when we got to Bedrock, the decision was made to portage all the gear across the cobble bar from the Leland and line the raft around.
Okay.
And you can see that we succeeded in doing that. It was a lot of work.
Yeah. How did that go? I mean, that's a real important, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to do this V-Way podcast was there's a photo of four people walking along. The boat has clearly made the right run. The frame is still on the boat.
Yep.
And, you know, so you can tie ropes to the frame. And it's made a perfect run with nobody in the boat on the right side. And I'm always thinking, you know, if the right side closes enough, lining or portaging, you know, portaging gear and then lining the boat is a perfectly viable option. And there you are doing it.
Yeah. And you can see from that photo, though, that big raft. There's not a lot of space.
Yeah, you have to be very cool.
All the other rafts ran it. The rowers went through, and we had no close call. Perfect runs.
Nice.
You know.
Nice.
Textbook, easy runs. It was not for them. Nah, they knew what to do.
Yeah.
So I think it was definitely the right call, because moving that raft is hard. It wouldn't have been full of water, but it's still just big, and especially fully loaded with gear. Heavy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The raft itself weighs about 250 to almost 280 pounds.
Okay.
Without a frame in. So the other rapid, though, that we were interested in on this 2025 trip, everybody's been talking about Dubendorf. And so Dubendorf isn't very far from Bedrock, actually.
Right.
So we did stop at, like, the next kind of viable campground down from Bedrock.
Okay.
We stopped for the day, relaxed, got everything, because we were thinking we might end up having to spend, like, an hour scouting Dubendorf.
Okay.
And we wanted to give it the respect that it needed. Now, mind you, everybody that we had rowing here, I mean, Dad's been rowing since the 70s. Kim was rowing. He's been rowing since the 70s. Dean grew up rowing like I did. He's the son of Kim. My brother Gary, he's been rowing since he was a kid. My brother Brian was rowing by then. I'd been taken over being bow because I was trip lead and kind of running stuff that way. He's been rowing, you know, everybody had 20, 30 years experience rowing. But you want to respect it. The Grand Canyon, the rapids in some ways may not be monster like some other rivers, but you're out there in the middle of nowhere.
That's right.
So the repercussions, if you have issues,
mm-hmm.
you're going to need to be able to handle things pretty much on your own.
That's right.
Quite a bit. So it's not, and you're fully loaded. You're on the river for 21 days. It's, our attitude has never been the go big or go home. It's, we're here to have fun.
Right.
But be safe.
And be cautious. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So we got to Dubendorf the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
And the scout was not as long as we thought it would be. We were able to pull in pretty close. They were done scouting in maybe 20, 30 minutes at uh-huh. most. And then we prepped to go downstream. My boat with Brian at the oars, we go first. We were usually the point people
uh-huh.
and pull in for safety. And then we had two or three other boats, and we always run Dad in the middle of the pack. With my brother Gary as sweep. And so Brian and I had some big hits.
Did you go down the middle or the right or the left? Do you remember?
Right.
Okay.
If I'm remembering correctly. There was only one run, at least that we could see. And they talked about a nice green, you had to kind of hit this green highway.
Uh-huh.
But you had to take a good hit to do it.
Hmm.
And near the top, and Dad, so we're down in the back eddy on River Right, and of course we're all watching Dad to make certain he's okay. He's got asthma, and if he ends up in the water, we're going to have to get him out quick because he'll start coughing.
Okay.
And would have a chance of an unprotected airway. So we're narrating it. We're all down there, pins and needles. Dad, maybe not quite where we thought he should be. And he hits that first wave, and his right oar disappears. And I'm like, he's lost his oar. And everybody's like, oh, okay. But we're waiting because he turned, he lined it up. Jan, who is standing in this next photo, the tall gentleman in the red dry suit,
mm-hmm.
he was already moving to the spare oar
okay.
to get it out, even though they're in the middle of the rapid. Dad's working his single oar, They come, by the time they're about three quarters of the way through, Jan's got the spare into Dad's hands, and we got it back in the horn, and he's got two oars. And I see, and so Dad's like got a huge grin on his face because he's upright, took a good hit, and I see coming down the river in front of the raft an oar. And I'm like, Brian, his oar. And so we go to get the oar, and I think I'm going to pull out a whole oar. And I'm like, this is cool. We'll rescue the oar. No. You look in that photo, that thing got bit. It is gone. Half the oar is gone. Hmm. When he took that hit, it just snapped, sheared it off. And that's one of those nice cataract oars, too. That took some power.
But that was good.
So of course,
we saved that broken spare back on,
and putting it on his trophy wall.
Yeah, everybody signed it, right? Good.
We didn't get anybody. We didn't sign it, but it'll be sitting there.
Oh, you got to sign it.
But so you can see, after that, Dad's still rowing, still happy. We did have another yellow spare, so he got another yellow oar.
Good. Yep.
And he continued to row. He did successful in lava, stayed upright. We all had good runs in lava, all upright. So then we got to have some more fun. Dad's learning to relax even on the raft, excuse me. Paco pads have definitely changed.
Yeah, it looks like he's taking a nap there as you're floating along.
Yeah, because Jan, who rode with rode, as in rode on the raft, but he also rode, as in paddled the raft.
Nice.
Is another former raft guide of Dad's.
Okay.
And so Dad actually let him row the stuff we didn't scout.
Lovely.
And we saw some stuff we'd never seen before. At National, we had a turkey come and greet us as we rode into camp.
Okay.
So I've heard the turkeys fly in from the rim, and then they can't get back out again.
That's right. Yeah.
So, lone turkey saying hi to us. That was a beautiful camp, too.
Okay.
We stayed at Surprise Canyon as well and found a turtle.
What kind of turtle?
I think the Facebook group has identified it as a soft-shelled something or other turtle.
Oh,
so we're turning it over to...
This isn't a desert tortoise. This is a water turtle.
Yeah, this is definitely a water turtle. And it was in the water.
Okay.
It is not... I think the consensus is this is a non-native, possibly invasive species, but we'll see.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. So, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's still out on that, what exactly the turtle is, but I think we've had some positive identifications after posting it up. And so what do? You get to Pierce's Ferry again. Unload the boats, put it all back on the truck. You can see the big old Leland there again, all stripped of all its gear. You can see the dry boxes and the pile of dry bags and tents and cheeky pails and Paco pads and
load it all up on the trailer.
Yep.
Drive it all. Yeah, exactly.
Yep, and Dad's right up there on top. Okay, this is how we load the trailer.
Super.
So that was 2025. We got to do it again, 10 years to the day.
That's really nice.
And had an amazing trip. And we wouldn't have been able to do that if Dad hadn't started that rafting clear back. 1972 up in Canada. Everybody on that trip, you know, we're all there because what his choices he made, his raft guides were along, and then the second generation.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely story of a rafting family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
lovely.
That's our photos, and that's our story.
Excellent. Well, Janet Ortley, thank you so very, very much for recounting 45 years of Grand Canyon River running here, telling us about your father, Irwin Ortley, and his well over 50 years of rafting, which is lovely. All right, well, with that, let's conclude this V-Way podcast with Janet Ortley. Janet, thank you so very much. Today is Saturday. It's May 17th, 2025, and I really appreciate your walking us through this family history.
You're welcome. Thank you for the privilege.
You're very welcome. Take care.